This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Oh, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another iteration. I love that word. People say, you know words with more than two syllables?
You know a lot of them. They call it bloviation.
Yeah, blizz, blub, blub. Oh, my goodness. Ed, that's great. Anyway, we love to have fun here, too, and today we have a tremendous interview with an extraordinary ministry that God is really blessing.
Amen.
Blessing a lot of people with. We're going to get to those introductions in a minute. But first, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Ed Skiba.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
It absolutely is.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, we're going to have a little prayer for Ed because he has a heart cath this week. And, you know, we want to ask God to bless that, right?
What's really good about it, it's proved to my wife that I really do have a heart.
Yeah, right. Yes, you do have a heart, Ed. And then Ann Limhoko.
Good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen, amen, amen. And we have, let's just lift Ed up for prayer. Father amen. God, Lord, he loves you. He's known you for decades. And Lord, you've always blessed him and taken him through difficult times. And this doesn't necessarily seem to be a difficult time, but he is going to have a heart cath. And they have found some concerns. And Lord, we know you can clear all his arteries out if you want, or you can use the doctors, and as you've done for me as well, Lord. And we just pray your will be done for Ed. Bless all those who'll be doing that diagnostic, Father, and just restore him to fullness of health and well-being and energy, because Father, he desires to serve you with everything he's got, and we just lift him up to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And
thank you for all of you out there for praying for me.
Oh too. Man, keep him in prayer.
Yes, amen. Please keep that in prayer.
This morning we have the founder of the Bucket Ministry and his director of development, founder Chris Beth. Chris, can you hear me okay?
I can, David. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I don't know if you can hear the infield chatter from the co-host. We have a unique means of technology that we're using because our software to bring the calls in didn't work. So I'm using my phone for Chris to talk to us. So
it's working.
I hope you can hear us well, Chris.
I can hear okay.
Okay, excellent. Right. And then we also have the Director of Development, Corey Aiken. Corey, welcome to the WCNO Frontline.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on.
Oh, amen. And we had the pleasure of meeting you and one of your associates, Frank. I can't think of his last name. I have it in my phone.
Bilotto.
Right. And we're here in the studio when you shared the Bucket Ministry with us. And now we're going to have that sharing with our listeners. And I'm really going to encourage you folks to pay attention. I believe, we all believe whenever we broadcast our programs here, live programs especially, that God has appointed certain people to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That you probably weren't planning on listening, but you are listening. And so you know I'm talking to you, because when we feature ministries here, which we do a lot, many people are raised up to say, I want to know more about that, or having known more about it, I want to get involved. And this is an opportunity to be prayerful about that. So, first of all, I'm going to ask Chris if you would share with us, I was going to ask you about your God story, because I know you know Jesus, and I know that Corey knows Jesus too. Tell us a little bit about your God story, and tell us how you got involved in the Bucket Ministry.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, David. And, you know, it's It's an interesting story. It's maybe non-traditional. I think there's a lot of different paths to ministry, but in my case, I was a business consultant for 35 years. Mm. So more or less, I help people make money and through a variety of different mechanisms. I thought I would be doing that for maybe another 10 years and then get to go fishing a lot after that. I really had no idea that I would be fishing for men at this point. And so I got saved at the age of 40. I met Jesus then, and in a unforeseen, as most of these type of incidents are, in an unforeseen car accident, my daughter and I were coming home from soccer practice, and we were hit head-on by another car.
Wow.
And she was in the back seat with her seatbelt on, but the seatbelt ended up breaking her back, and we were rushed to an emergency room. And in that instant, I realized I needed a friend that would never leave me. I realized I had a need for a Savior, and I invited Jesus into my life to take control of my life. I repented of my sins in a hallway of an emergency room in Dallas, Texas.
Wow.
And so at that point, things started to change in my life. I'm now 56 years old, so I've been a follower of Jesus for 16 years.
Wow.
And it's been quite a walk, right? And
yes.
So about 4 years after that incident, my daughter, again, came home from school, and she's completely healed at this point.
Praise God.
So we have no issues there. But she came home from high school, and she said she wanted to go on this mission trip to the Brazilian Amazon.
Mm.
And she had been on mission trips before, David, to South Texas. But, I mean, let's be honest. Brazil, a little bit farther than South Texas.
So I'm told.
So she wants to go on this trip. So my wife and I quickly decide, well, we're gonna make her do a little bit of work on this. And we told her, well, if you're gonna go, you're gonna have to raise all the money.
Mm.
And wouldn't you know it? About 2 weeks after we said that, she had $3,500 raised.
Wow.
From making appeals to friends and family and teachers.
Wow.
So now we're at this point of, holy cow, one of us is going to have to go with her. And so that became my job. But I'm going to be honest, I only went to be her dad. I only went to bring her home, because I'd only been saved about 4 or 5 years at that point, and I hadn't even been discipled yet. So I was still new to this relationship with Jesus, trying to learn as much as I could on my own, but I was progressing slowly. So I decided I'm going to go on this trip with her to the Brazilian Amazon, but I'm just going to be honest, I didn't go because I had a love or compassion for the Brazilian people. I went just to bring my kid home.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was my only marching orders that I had at that point, is make sure she comes home. So we board this airplane to Manaus, Brazil. We get into Brazil, and we take a short bus ride to the Amazon River, and we board this open-air river boat. And I had never experienced anything like this before. We were with 12 other people on this trip, and these people were speaking a language, frankly, I really didn't even understand. Although they came from America and they spoke English, they were talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus serving. And I had never been around this before, and quite frankly, it might as well have been Spanish to me at this point, because not only did I not understand what they were saying, I felt uncomfortable at first. So I thought, oh boy, this is going to be a trip. Mm-hmm. So we leave the dock, and we went 18 hours into the Amazon basin, to the darkest reaches of that flooded river system. And, you know, we saw things that maybe you would only see on on an episode of, or in an issue of National Geographic. Mm-hmm. We saw pink freshwater dolphins. We saw macaws and giant snakes and giant fish, and just things that were remarkable. But I saw things that I wasn't really prepared to see. I was excited to see the wildlife and just, you know, the river system, but the other things that I saw, it was not expected. I saw people that drank out of a river, and they thought that was normal. Mm-hmm. I saw people that they didn't name their children for the first 2 years of of those kids' lives because they weren't sure that they were going to make it because they knew that so many children die from waterborne disease. I saw people without hope. They had no idea where their next meal was going to come from. They had no money, and they just did not have a friend that would never leave them. So that trip started to not only open my eyes, but soften my heart. And then on the third day of that trip, and when you say God stories, David, this really is probably one of my larger ones. And on the third day of that trip, the trip leader assigned me to go door to door in the village to basically do door to door evangelism. But at that point, I didn't know what that was. So it was just door to door home visits. And I really thought that this lady, she really must hate me because I don't want to do this. I don't like this. It's uncomfortable. And while people were praying in the house with the residents, I was praying, but I was on the other side of the house, and I was praying nobody would talk to me or make me speak because I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was out of my element, and it was just extremely awkward. So on the third day of this trip, I'm assigned to go across the river and visit a small house that was partially flooded. So we pull up to the house in a small boat, get out of the small boat, and we walk across this rickety plank onto this dock that's attached to the house. And it's kind of like a bobber, it's floating, and we're trying to walk across it into the semi-flooded house. And this Brazilian couple, they warmly greet us, and they hug us. They hug us like we've never been hugged before, and they welcome us into their house. And it was such a warm version of hospitality that I had never witnessed in America before, and it was just so welcoming. It was beautiful. And then this little Brazilian woman looks at me, and I'm just this giant sweaty American, right? Yep. And she looks at me, and through my interpreter she asked me, "Are you thirsty?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm thirsty. What do you mean? I got a desert going on right here." I look around this house, David, and I'm looking for a refrigerator, right? And of course, there's no refrigerator in this house. And then I thought, well, I wonder where the water cooler is. And there's no water cooler. Because I will tell you, at this point, I grew up in a privileged environment in America where if I was thirsty, I took a cup and I went to my refrigerator and I retrieved a glass of water. Or, you know, if I wasn't near my refrigerator, I went and bought a bottle of water if I was thirsty. I never even thought about, I never gave a consideration that anyone else
excuse me, Chris. We're going to go ahead and take a break. So we'll let you ask you to come back to that story when we return. Okay? Hang on just a sec.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Go Build Love, a local Christian charity, is doing a fundraiser at Sailfish Sands Country Club in Stewart to raise funds for clean water and sharing the gospel of Christ. Seth Ray, the founder and visionary of Go Build Love, is a former golf pro seeking to achieve a world record of hitting 486-plus holes of golf in a single day. Any golf professionals or golf enthusiasts are welcome to watch his progress on August the 5th at Sailfish Sands Country Club. Pledges and one-time donations can be made at www.gobuildlove.org. And they certainly appreciate your support. And for more information, you can contact Go Build Love at 574-962-4496. I like that music.
Played well too.
That was not me. I haven't done any of that. Well, we're back. Welcome to the front line. We have as our guest today the founder of the Bucket Ministry, and we're about to hear more about what that ministry does and how it works and who it touches and how God is moving powerfully through that. And that's Chris. Chris and Corey, we got two first-sounding names. Chris Beth, who's the founder of Bucket Ministry. We're going to be talking, too, with Corey Aiken, who is the director of development of the ministry. Chris was sharing a story of his first encounter with the need for clean water. So, Chris, pick up on that live story, if you would, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, David. And at this time, I'm in this house, and this Brazilian woman, she asked me if I'm thirsty, and I say yes, and I'm looking around for an improved source of water because I had no idea that people did not have access to clean water. I mean, to me, at that point, it seemed like clean water was like oxygen. It's just... Mm-hmm. A human need and a human right. I never considered people didn't have it. So what this woman does next is she goes in her kitchen and she gathers two cups from her kitchen. They're mismatched and they're cracked. And she walks out into this little dock structure outside the front door. And I remember this like it was yesterday because I was standing in the doorway thinking, what in the world is this woman doing? There's no water cooler outside. But she takes these two cups and she bends down on the dock and she scoops water out of the river in these two cups. And I'm standing in the doorway, David, and I'm like, nah. she's not going to give me that water. And sure enough, she wipes up to me. She hands one cup to me, one cup to my interpreter, Nelson. And so there's these points in life where you have to make a pretty quick decision that's going to affect maybe your outcome, your day, maybe your life. I don't know. So I'm holding this glass of dirty water, and literally I can see things swimming in it. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that dawned on me was they think that this is normal. For the first time in my life, I thought about somebody else and their needs more than my own. And I thought about, she thinks that getting water out of a river is normal. So then this next point, I'm thinking, well, if I tell her or if I don't drink it, she's going to think I'm rude because I just made such a big deal how thirsty I was. So then on the other hand, I'm thinking, if I drink this, I'm going to spend the rest of the trip in the bathroom. So as I'm pondering this decision,
there is no bathroom.
I look over at my interpreter out of the corner of my eye, and he's wagging his finger no. So it's at this point, I realize I can't drink this. So I'm trying to figure out, what do I do with this glass of water? So I'm holding this glass of dirty water, and again, literally, I can see things moving in the water. And I will tell you, David, prior to this day, and I'm not proud of this. I just want to go on record of saying I'm not proud of this. But prior to this day, if anybody told me that they received word from God on something, or they said, the Lord gave me this instruction, or I felt called to do this, this was my response. And again, I'm not proud of it, but my response would have been, while I'm raising my eyebrows, I would be like, really? Did he really stop his day to give you that instruction? I doubted that God would actually speak to people. And so I'm holding this glass of water, and this is in 2012. And I clearly heard two words, and these two words were defined enough that I looked around the room to see who said them. And he said, help them. Very clearly, but it came with zero instructions. He said, help them. So I didn't know what help them meant. I didn't know, does this mean I'm supposed to, you know, open up my wallet and give them $20? Am I supposed to give them a hug? What does help them mean? So I leave there that day with this burden. The first burden is thinking about that people drink out of a river and they think that's normal. And then the second burden is, what is this help them? So I leave there that day. Come fly back home to America with my daughter, and I'm at home trying to understand what I saw that week and what does this help them mean. So at that point, I start asking some questions, start trying to educate myself, and I called the doctor that was on that trip, and I said, Dr. Casey, can you tell me, from all the people you treated, can you tell me how many people you treated that had some sort of issue because they're drinking dirty water? And he goes, oh, that's easy. And I'm like, I expect him to say none. And he said, all of them. And I'm like, Dr. Casey, how's this even possible? And he says, well, Chris, they're all drinking from a dirty river, and they all have symptoms of waterborne disease. It doesn't matter if they're 2 years old or 92 years old, they're all showing symptoms of waterborne disease. So that's when I started to understand the gravity of the situation. And fast forwarding the story, I researched different opportunities to bring in clean water, and I tried to make myself an expert at wells, at biosand filters. There's just a plethora of options in the space, but I knew whatever we used in the Amazon basin had to be portable, it had to be cost effective, and it had to be simple. We had to be able to teach a 7-year-old or a 97-year-old how to use and clean whatever this tool was going to be. So that was really the origin of where God breathed life into the bucket ministry, and maybe the first time in my life when I was listening when he illustrated why he had created me.
Wow. And from that was 2013, you said?
2012. First trip was 2012, and then the second trip back to the Amazon was 2014. And We made a bunch of discoveries on that trip as well. But again, you know, all this just spoke into existence through God speaking to ordinary, uneducated, untrained people.
Mm. So you just defined everybody in this room here.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, God doesn't use our, I mean, we're pretty smart people, but he doesn't use that. Mm-hmm. It's totally his work.
Right.
Amen.
I want to move here, Chris, and just bring Corey in on the conversation.
Yeah, please.
And Corey, I will affirm that you are a man of God who loves Jesus and has been following him for many decades. And how did you get involved in the Bucket Ministry, Corey?
Well, that's an interesting story in itself. You know, I'm a former CFO, and I just parted with a private equity company and thought I was going to go into semi-retirement and do interim consulting.
Mm.
And the Bucket Ministry showed up at my church in East Texas, and actually Chris's daughter, who's the common theme here, Savannah, showed up in my Sunday school class. And she shared the story of the ministry, and I always knew I wanted to go into ministry. I was actually called at 17, accepted that call. Got talked out of it by my parents at 19, and the Lord 40 years later reminded me, you can run from the call, but you can't outrun it. And sitting in that classroom, he spoke very clearly and said, Corey, this is where you're going to go work. I mean, there was not a shadow of a doubt. And so I actually pursued the ministry. We had just moved to East Texas. I got hold of my missions pastor and said, you know, Jana, you don't know me from Adam, but you got to get me in front of the founder, because if I send him my resume, he'll never talk to me. This man needs to hear my heart.
Mm.
And so she set up a meeting about a month later. Chris was in Tyler, and we sat across from the table, and the first words out of his mouth was, I've been praying for this position for 3 years.
Wow.
And so you kind of know when you know.
Yeah.
And talk about a God moment. Savannah wasn't even supposed to be in our Sunday school classroom. She went to the wrong room.
Really?
Look at the Lord. Sounds like she went to the right room.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's what my wife says. She went to the right Sunday school room. And so we see Chris another 3 months. He was hard to date at the time. to get him to say yes, come on board. But, you know, I will hit a month August 1st. I mean, a year August 1st. An incredible blessing, and I just can't believe I get to do this. I mean, that's where I sit, because what I did for 32 years in aerospace and defense, I never got to see God move.
Mm.
You know, I was more worried about profits, and now I see God move multiple times a day, and all you can sit here and say is, but God.
Amen. Oops, I got someone calling my phone.
Yeah.
I'll decline that call. That's okay. All right. It's my doctor. She wants to remind me I have an appointment tomorrow. So. Anyway, and I'm kind of at a crossroads as a host, and my co-host may have. We're about to come to a break, so I think it might be a good idea for us to wait and go to this break and then come back. I'm intrigued. And I know the answers, but I'm still intrigued by moving forward to, I think maybe to go back to Chris when we come back to the break. And how did the bucket ministry get, I mean, we know how it got started, but we got a filter, you got a bucket, you got a hose, and you've got thousands of people that need clean water. You started in the Amazon. Where did it go from there? I think that's where I'd like to pick up when we get back. So y'all just hang on. We'll be back in about a minute.
Hi, Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Welcome back to the front line. We have today, we are interviewing two very dedicated gentlemen who love to serve the Lord. They love the Lord, and they're bringing that, putting that love into action.
Yes.
And have been for many,
Amen.
Many years.
Amen.
Bringing clean water to people that have heretofore mm-hmm. been drinking horrible water, horrible, all kinds of diseases in it. We're talking with Tris Beth, who is the founder of the Bucket Ministry, and Corey Aiken, his director of development. And so, again, gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's great. And Chris, you were going to continue and talk. Well, I'd like for our listeners to get kind of a sense of, you know, you started in the Amazon basin, and then but you're not just there now. Kind of share with us how God has moved in and through the Bucket Ministry and the extent of where the Bucket Ministry is touching lives today.
You bet. Well, thank you, David, again. And so, absolutely, I thought that we would just be working in the Amazon basin and had no idea it was going to open other doors. But even before we get to where, let's talk about real quickly the what mm-hmm. and the why. And the World Health Organization cites that 785 million people around the world lack access to clean, safe mm-hmm. drinking water. Mm-hmm. And to put that giant figure in perspective, let's consider that the population of the United States is roughly 331 million. Mm-hmm. So more than twice the population of the United States doesn't have something that I take for granted my entire life. Mm-hmm. And have taken for granted. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday and trying to put it in perspective to them. And while this is a little graphic, I'll share this with you because I think it helps us understand. If each one of us would walk into our bathroom right now and take a cup from the kitchen, and I'm not suggesting we do this, but let's just think about this. Yeah. Take that cup and dip water out of our toilets. Mm. Those that would do that would still have much cleaner water than the majority of the world has yep. access mm. to drink.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a perspective moment, right? So we see how big the problem is, and we see that there's 3.1 billion people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So really, what do we focus on? We focus on these two things. We focus on clean water, but that clean water becomes a tool to be able to share the gospel and disciple those that come to Amen. Believe. And on the very second trip, we went to the Brazilian Amazon. We brought several filters, and on that trip, we were shown by just an amazing introduction that happened there with the Brazilian man, that this is much more than just water. And so we were set up in this village, we taught people how to use the filter, we felt really good about ourselves, and then this Brazilian man asks us before we're getting ready to leave, he said, "Can you tell me how you made your way to our village?" And I thought about it for a moment. I said, "Well, that boat right there, that's how I got here." I was making a joke, of course. And he goes, No. Of all the villages in the Amazon, how did you come to ours today? And he really wasn't prepared to answer that. So I said real quickly, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, and we were instructed to bring you this gift.
Mm.
And the next thing he said changed everything for me personally. Wow. And for our organization. He goes, and he's speaking through an interpreter, right? So he goes, who is this Jesus?
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
And here I am, just, you know, a guy that now has been saved about 5 or 6 years, and I'm being told to testify about who Jesus is, and I'm not ready. So I turn around and I'm like, hey, where's the pastor? Somebody get the pastor here. Where is this pastor? And there's no pastor. Uh-huh. And, you know, I can't stand on a rock and preach. What am I going to do? So I just shared with this man and the rest of the people that were standing there my testimony about how I got in a car crash with my daughter, and I found a friend that would never leave me, and I repented of my sins, and I'm leading this new life now. And the next thing that this man asked truly changed everything for me. He goes, how can I have that? Can I have a friend that?
Could hear that coming.
Wow, yeah.
And that's what we saw, that this filter was merely just a tool to start a conversation with someone that we start to earn the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And we have this missionary friend that says, people will not believe the words of your mouth until they feel the touch of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that filter becomes the touch of our hand. That filter becomes a key that opens a door, that starts a relationship. That, you know, honestly, if we want to teach people auto mechanics after they've seen the filter work, they'll sit there for hours and they'll listen to it because they're so intrigued with this filter that they know is going to help their family. Yes. So that's the connectivity from the humanitarian part of the filter, which does an amazing job. Those Sawyer water filters will last over 20 years, and they will rescue people from cholera, typhoid, a plethora of other waterborne diseases, again, will last a long, long time. But they also serve as an illustration, because the dirt in the water is just like the sin that we all have in our lives.
Amen.
And that filter is a wonderful illustration of what Christ did on that cross for us.
Hallelujah.
How he submitted himself, how he redeemed us, restored us, and renewed us to the Father. And so that's really, you know, the mechanism that we learned, really what this was. It was more than water, way more than water.
Mm.
And if I'm being honest, I'm not as excited about the water as I am the gospel.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
I hear that.
So the water is merely the mechanism, but it's this wonderful part that is a perfect addition. So that was all taught to us in the Amazon. And since 2012, we have worked in almost 30 different countries now, and we have active campaigns in about 15 countries, which means that we're developing larger campaigns in about 15 different countries, and that includes in North America, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Mexico, and then we're working in Honduras, Guatemala, Belize, South America. We're working in Brazil, Colombia, Peru. In Asia, we're working in one area in India right now. We're starting work in the Philippines. And then in Africa, we are working in Sierra Leone, Ghana, Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, South Africa. So we have really seen God expand all this very quickly.
Wow.
And honestly, we're just trying to say yes more than we say no, and we're trying to walk through the doors as quickly as he opens them in these different countries.
That's an extraordinary movement of the of God.
That, yes.
From one small village in the Amazon basin to 30 or over 30 countries on the planet. And I'm guessing that, you know, God isn't finished. You know, that maybe next year you'll say you're in 40 nations because God is just moving to bring this. I'm going to ask Corey kind of pick up the thread of, since you're director of development, and if I may, Chris, just shift to Corey for a minute. Because people are probably wondering, how does the bucket ministry work when you talk about developing a community and bringing the filter so you can bring Christ? Give us a thumbnail sketch, Corey, if you would.
Well, I mean, it truly is amazing when you think about the process, you know, from a development standpoint. You know, we love to partner with churches. I'm actually out here in Colorado. I was speaking from the pulpit yesterday, and that's one way. We have a beautiful VBS program that has been developed through our kids' clubs that we do on Saturdays in the slums over there that Chris's daughter, she was the director of our children's program. Makes an incredible difference for working with churches from that. Obviously, individuals choose to get very active with us. They can come on trips with us, you know, if it's for a church. Church can book a trip with the ministry, and a bucket ministry person will go with them. We can come educate a congregation. So there's a wide variety, but I will tell you, David, it all starts with prayer. Prayer is the key to the ministry, and that's one of the biggest things we need as an organization. And then obviously you can go, which I talked about as well. People can choose to volunteer. And so there's many avenues to be involved. And, you know, as Chris was talking, I just recently got back from Kenya, and I just wanted to kind of share a God story with you, because I didn't understand the impact of clean water when I came on. And the Lord has opened my eyes to that, not only from the physical standpoint, but the economic impact to the recipients of the buckets and filters. And I was with this lady, and I asked her, I said, how much do you pay for clean water, you know, every month? And she told me, she goes, I pay 1,000 Kenyan shillings every single month. And I said, but do you ever get sick? And she goes, yes. So I go, your water's really not clean. And she goes, you are correct. So I said, how much do you spend on medicine every single month? And she looked at me and she said, I spend 500 Kenyan shillings every single month for medicine. So that's 1,500 shillings she's paying out. And the amazing thing is, that is 45% of her income she was paying out to have clean water. And because now she has this filter, she got a 45% raise. And to put it into perspective for everybody here, her average U.S. income in that Kibera slum is $26 a month. We don't even think about that when we go out to dinner with our spouse.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or we go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, so we love to share with people that for $50, you can make physical change for a generation, but more importantly, you can help solve an eternal problem by the gospel that gets shared. Because what takes place with that $50 is, as a person gets a bucket, they get a filter, they get anti-parasitic meds, because we believe it's important to clean out their bodies as they transition to clean water. But then the exciting thing is, they get a minimum of 3 home visits from our indigenous missionaries, because we believe as a ministry that it should be neighbors helping neighbors. Because obviously we can't go live overseas. I mean, we could, but we don't. We think it's better because they know their culture. They know their environment so much better than we do.
Amen. And
so from a development perspective, that's kind of what we do as a ministry.
That was kind of Paul's approach to mission, wasn't it? I mean, he raised up indigenous leaders and then moved on.
Absolutely.
He was bringing church, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
no, exactly.
So you... I'm trying to think of, there's so many questions to ask and so little time. We're not going to have any more breaks, though. We're going to run right till the end of the hour.
Good.
Because there's a lot more to share here. Just to give us an overhead view of where you've come from since that first Amazon Basin village, Talk about the number of people that the Bucket Ministry has touched, and give us. It'd be great to hear how many conversions to Christ have happened in these last few years.
Wow, that's an amazing topic, David, and thank you for asking that. So, as we said, we're working 15 active campaigns in 15 different countries now, and because of that, we've been blessed to, on average, we are distributing anywhere from 30 to 35,000 filters per year.
Wow.
And what that is we want one filter in every home. And when I say we, please understand, as Corey said, these are indigenous pastors and missionaries that we are partnered with that are doing the work. We here are mainly just the gas station. Putting fuel in the tank that gets the work done.
Yeah.
And because, as I like to say, we work by OPM. We work with other people's money, and we take that very, very seriously when we do. And but it's the fact of how the work gets done. But we believe in neighbors ministering to neighbors. We believe that you can go further and faster and farther when, for example, if we're working in Kenya, it's Kenyans serving Kenyans. So because of the volume of work that we are blessed to be doing, we're able also to obviously see a lot of life change. And when we distribute a filter, we do 3 follow-up visitations. That first visitation is at 7 to 10 days after their filter is received. Then there's another follow-up 14 days after that, and another 14 days after that. And while the indigenous pastors and missionaries are in their homes, they're checking on their filters, but they're also engaging in gospel conversations. They're doing a spiritual assessment of who's in the home that day and identifying, are they followers of Jesus? Because we take this thing called the Great Commission very seriously in Matthew 28:18-20, where we're told to go and make disciples. And our visits in the homes involve gospel shares almost every single visit. And just to put this in perspective, in one campaign in one slum area of Nairobi, Kenya, that we're getting close to finishing now, it's been a 3-year campaign, we have seen nearly 20,000 conversions, 20,000 wow. professions of faith in not even 3 years. So you think about that number and think, oh my gosh, that is a very large number, and we just praise God for every heart change, because we realize we don't save anybody, right? We're merely just scheduling the appointment and telling the story. And so we see these professions of faith like this, and then the real work begins, because obviously evangelism and sharing the gospel is super important, but we also believe that if we're not feeding people, then we're not truly completing what we see in the Great Commission. And so when we're back in their homes after we witness a profession of faith, we are able to start teaching what we call patterns of discipleship. And our goal while we're in their home is to redirect them to a local like-minded church, if there is a church in that area. If not, we will often start a Bible study in a home of peace. And but yet we're starting to teach scriptural lessons. And for example, one of my favorites is the lesson on baptism that we teach. And so we will often cue this up, because salvation or a profession of faith is an inward decision, right? Inward and upward. But baptism is outward. And so when we teach on baptism, I like to teach from Acts 8, where we see Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch. Mm-hmm. And we see this interaction, and what I'm trying to get across to is, what is baptism? And let's look at the scriptural relevance. And then while we're in their home, because we've partnered with partners like the Jesus Film Project, mm-hmm. we will show a 5-minute clip in the heart language of this interaction between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we will use that video to help us complete that discipleship lesson. Mm, yeah. So the big part for us is going back to evangelism, and then being able to track all those new believers and start to teach patterns of discipleship to them, and then route them to the local like-minded church that's in that area. Yeah. Wow. So, and with that simple model, and this is not... This is not advanced coursework, right? This is following Jesus 101. These are the simple commands that Christ has given us. Mm-hmm. And through this process, we have now been able to see second and third generation new believers be established, and we're able to witness these conversions. And just because simply we're able to follow the commands of Christ and walk through this obediently in discipleship. So Anyway, it's just such a blessing to see. And I don't like to get into the numbers so much, because I don't want to lose sight that the number is something on a piece of paper. Amen. That we as humans write. God is doing so much more than that. And I just think of all the times where we share the gospel, but there is no response. Mm-hmm. And we know that many people might need to hear the gospel 4, 5, 6 times. Amen. Mm-hmm. Before they respond. So I don't want to negate any of those gospel shares and mm-hmm. just focus solely on these conversions that we've logged.
Amen.
Hopefully that makes sense.
Oh, it certainly does. And I mean, I've been privileged, you know, to go on your website and to explore, you know, the stats, if you will. And that's the only thing. But I ask that particularly because when I go on your website, which we're going to talk about in a minute, and I review the overview of what the Bucket Ministry has done, mm-hmm. where it's going, and I'm hearing God say, this is revival, that I am bringing revival.
Amen.
To that part of the world. Amen. That you're in.
Praise God.
And we are praying for revival all over. And to Amen. See the tangible expression of God's Holy Spirit bringing that about. Amen. Is awesome. Amen. So when I look at, that's what the stats tell me. And apart from that, you get down to the individual level. But I've got to, looking at the time, and we have a few minutes yet, but time does run out. Unfortunately, one day we will not be living in time and space. But Amen. Today we are. So I first of all want to ask you, and it could be you, Chris, or Corey, but tell us, how can people go to the website? Yeah. What's the website? How can they find out more about the Bucket Ministry? And how can they donate?
Sure, Corey, why don't you take that one?
Yep, you can go to thebucketministry.org, and up in the upper right-hand corner, there's actually a yellow button that says donate, and you can click on that, and you can choose to donate once, you can choose to donate monthly, yearly, lump sum, however you'd like to be able to do that. If you'd like more information, you can email me at Corey, and that is Cory at thebucketministry.org, and I'll say it for you one more time. It is Corey, which is Cory, at thebucketministry.org. I'd be happy to connect with you, provide you more information that's not on our website. Me being a data guy, you know, I can share a lot of data with you from what we collect, and I shared that with you, David and Jonathan, as well, when I was there. And so that's the easiest way to get a hold of us is through that. Or you can email info@thebucketministry.org as well.
That's right. And I'll also mention we do have a link on our radio station website. That's you go to WCNO.com, and then the home page in the upper near the top line, you can find a phrase, the Bucket Ministry. Yeah. Click on that. Yep. You'll get a paragraph about the Bucket Ministry, a link to the website, and a link to a very powerful video that tells an individual story of the impact of the Bucket Ministry. I was going to ask, I've been dominating the mic here. I want to ask my co-host.
You're good at that.
You've been doing such a good job.
Yeah. I would like to clarify something. Corey, you've got that East Texas accent a bit. When you gave the website, you did say at thebucketministry.org because it sounded like bucketministry.org, and many people listening might have confused that.
Yes, yeah, so you need the TH.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
It is thebucketministry.org.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. There you go. Ann, did you have a question? We have about 4 minutes.
Yeah, I was just looking at your website. I saw here that you actually have an online store where you can purchase some clothing to support your mission. Is that correct? You want to talk about that, Corey?
You can. You can go to our shop and do that as well. Or you can do our BOGO, which is buy one and get one.
Yeah. Oh.
The great thing with Clear Filter is that they have now gotten an attachment where if you want that same filter that we use in the field, you can have one actually for your kitchen faucet. So you can do that through the BOGO program, and you can go to our shop and get some great merchandise.
And I also saw the get involved. So there's many ways that our listeners can get involved. They can go on an expedition. They can join your prayer team. And then what is it says here to become a storyteller? Can you tell us about that really quickly, if you don't mind?
You bet. Be happy to do that. And Frank, who introduced me to Dave, is actually one of our storytellers. And a storyteller someone that gets involved with the ministry. We train them. We provide them materials. And then they can go out in their local area and share the story of the ministry and kind of be the hands and feet for us as well here in the United States.
And I'll be happy to, if anyone is listening now, especially a pastor, and you in our listening area, I don't know how far Frank travels, but I can. I have his number. I'm sure he'd be happy if a pastor or somebody called and wanted to have a storyteller come to their church. I'll be happy to pass Frank's number on to them. And it's a tremendous and powerful story. Gentlemen, we're almost out of time. I was going to ask one of you, maybe I'll ask Chris, since you're the founder and not that you both are engines of prayer, no question about it. But I would love, Chris, if you would just lift up everybody in the world that's struggling with horrible water and the you know, just the needs that they have. And we got about 2 minutes, if you could do that in prayer.
Absolutely. Let's go to the Lord.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Father. Father, I thank you for the blessings that I take for granted every day. The small ones. I thank you for the great big ones, like that roof over my head, Father. And Father, I thank you for clean, safe drinking water that you've given me.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, you know my heart. You know our hearts towards clean water and what you've shown us. And Father, through the testimonies of people and through the things that you've physically shown us, you've illustrated the problem. And Father, I, as you know, I've often wondered why you just didn't fix all of that in the beginning.
Yes.
And Father, I know that you have clearly illustrated that you did, and that is part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
So Father, I just pray for all these people. I pray that you will bring relief to them, that you will have hope delivered to them, hope in the form of clean water. hope in the form of a friend that will never, ever leave them, Father. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for hearts that are softened. Yes. I pray for the feet of the messengers that are around the world delivering clean water and delivering your sweet gospel. And Father, we just love you. We thank you. We lift all